Athens, 389 BC. I went down to the Piraeus yesterday with Glaucon, my brother. I told him not to waste his time, but he insisted. Flutes piped me away at dawn. The best parties were just letting out. Musicians played a last song while tired guests dressed and dragged themselves into the streets. Rain licked the air. A dark cloud brooded motionless over the greatest city on earth. At the eastern gate, I paused for one last look. Civic Athens had already turned her back on me. The agora, the law courts, the assembly houses and jails were all hidden behind the shoulders of the Acropolis. Only the Parthenon remained, hovering above the city, a marble phantom among the clouds. For a second, delicious melancholy drowned out my worries. I whispered a silent prayer and tried to swallow the moment whole, to carry it with me on my journey.
"Take a good look," Glaucon said. "You'll miss it when you're gone."
I turned away. In front of me, a 2-foot god with a 3-foot erection leered out at me from the gate. Glaucon spat on his hand and touched the herm's well-worn cock for luck.
"At least he's pleased to see you go."
I frowned, cross that he'd spoiled the moment with a cheap joke. Glaucon's face fell, wounded that I'd taken offence. A space opened between us. Beyond the gate, the road to Piraeus is a long, straight corridor between the walls, a no-man's land of graffiti, allotments, and tombs. Walking there reminds me of a prison yard, especially on the days when the executioners are at work outside the north wall and the screams of condemned men follow you all the way down to the sea. That early, the executioners were still in bed. The road was almost empty. Our few fellow travellers merely showed as shadows in the distance. It was a lonely walk, but if there were bag-cutters and cloak-snatchers skulking among the tombs, they left us alone. The Aristides have always been big men. Even at our ages, just touching either side of 40, you could still see shades of the war hero in Glaucon, the wrestler in me. Pollux and Castor, Socrates used to call us, the divine brothers, boxer and horseman, his star pupils. A muscle tightened across my chest, as it always does when I think of him. 10 years on, his absurd death still takes my breath away. Athens has been empty since. I should have left years ago. All it wanted was courage. Glaucon looked at the sky. "Could be a storm coming. Not a good day for going to sea." I walked faster. I've dreamed the same dream 3 nights running. Drowning, sucked down into a void from which even my screams can't escape. I don't want to go on this voyage. Athenians have never been easy with the world. We're exceptional people, only comfortable with each other. Even our fitful attempts at empire feel solipsistic, an attempt to engage the world by making it more like us. The rest of the time, we keep it at arm's length. And the end of that arm is the Piraeus, the Athenian hand that holds back the world or extends tentatively to greet it. Every nation is here, dark-skinned Carthaginians jabbering in their quick-fire tongue, crafty Sicilians who smell of cheese, Black Sea colonists like bears, and Egyptians who can give you the look of eternity even while haggling 3 coppers off a bale of cloth. Hens peck at the corn that the grain wagons have spilled, lumbering up to Athens, while 2 obol whores try to distract men from their work. A few try to proposition me and Glaucon. Even at my age, I found myself blushing, not knowing where to look.
"Perhaps it would settle your nerves," Glaucon suggested. "You look seasick already."
I couldn't deny it. Through all the imported scents in the air, I could taste the bitter note of the sea. It turned my stomach. I wished again that I could abandon this trip. My hand moved to my waist, touching the bag where I kept Agathon's letter. I had to go. We carried on, past the emporium and the shrine of the Thracian goddess Pendis. Burnt-out sticks littered the streets from the torchlit procession the night before. Street sweepers swiped brushes at the crushed garlands and broken pots left behind from her festival. And then there was the harbour. I suppose everyone looks at the sea and finds a mirror of his own possibilities. A merchant sees profit, an admiral glory, a hero adventure. To me, it was a black mouth, unfathomable and vast. Ships clustered around the basin like teeth, yellow foam and effluent flecked the